Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? Who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Welcome back on a Top 10 Tuesday in the Doghouse. You know, some of these polls, I mean, I know all of our polls are stupid, right? But some of them, I have a hard time figuring out. For example, Dennis Dodd's college football poll, his fastest rising team is Southern Cal. He moved Southern Cal up 7 spots off of their win against Colorado. And he says about Southern Cal, he said, if not for a 5-touchdown loss at Notre Dame, the Trojans would be in a playoff hunt. If not for a 5-touchdown loss at Notre Dame, you mean the Notre Dame team that just got completely destroyed by Miami? So Miami destroys the team that destroyed Southern Cal. And this guy moves Southern Cal up 7 spots on his power rankings. What am I missing? I mean, maybe if I was a smarter guy like Kevin Rogers is from Vegas Insider. He joins us now. Kevin, what am I missing here, man? I mean, how do you move a team up 7 spots because the team that beat them by 5 touchdowns got beat by Miami by 4 touchdowns or 5 touchdowns, whatever it was?
Well, explain this one to me. How does Clemson lose to Syracuse? And Syracuse allows 64 points to Wake Forest.
Well, yeah. The one that's the most confusing to me is Jeff Sagarin's computer rankings and all the numbers and all the crunching that they do. And he's got Ohio State ahead of Oklahoma. And at 5, he's got 5 Ohio State and 6 Oklahoma. Of course, he has Penn State at 3 as well. But how do you put Ohio State with 2 losses ahead of Oklahoma team that beat them in their building that only has 1 loss, and Oklahoma has the number 16 schedule, and Oklahoma has the number, or Ohio State is the number 26 schedule. One's 4-1 against top 30, the other's 2-2 against top 30, and yet you have Ohio State higher than Oklahoma. How do you do that? I don't get that.
Well, first of all, I'm not into computers and all that other stuff. I think you're just overanalyzing. I look at it like this. Who has the better record? Oklahoma. Do they play head-to-head? Yes. Who won? Oklahoma. End of story.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no reason to look at schedules and all this other stuff. You know what I'm confused about is what's the point? It's like Wisconsin, you know, is brought up. And now I think with these other teams losing, that's helping Wisconsin's cause, obviously, if they went out to get in the top 4. But, you know, last week it seemed like Wisconsin would be left out potentially if they go undefeated. What's the point of winning all of your games in a Power 5 conference? So-and-so, they have a stronger resume, but they lost.
Yeah.
But they lost. So I don't understand, like, are we not supposed to win every game? I still get how – I'm telling you, Tom, I really believe it's deep down inside that somehow, some way, Ohio State is going to get it with 2 losses.
Yeah, I think that could happen. If Ohio State beats Michigan at Michigan and beats Wisconsin in that thing, they're going to figure out a way to put them in there. But I'll tell you what. This is why this whole eye test thing, to me, I think it should be just champions. But this whole eye test thing, you could have some real problems. Because what if Wisconsin loses to Michigan this week, and then Ohio State beats Michigan, and then Wisconsin beats Ohio State? Why wouldn't Wisconsin be considered as a 12-1, one-loss Big Ten champion that beat Ohio State? Why wouldn't they be considered, yet we're ready to consider a 12-1 Alabama team, or a 11-1 Alabama team, or a, you know, what are we going to do with a 12-1 Miami team, if their only losses are by a field goal in the ACC championship game, 12-1 Oklahoma team. We're going to have a bunch of 12-1 teams here to sort out.
Well, the other thing, too, is that trying to explain this one to me. I know we're playing the if game because it's over with, but what if Alabama lost to Mississippi State and lost to Auburn and Wisconsin was undefeated? You're telling me Alabama is better than that? Like, no. They lost twice.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been.
You know, or if they lost in the SEC championship to Georgia. You know, if they had two losses somewhere down the line, you still lost twice. How are you better than an undefeated team?
Well,
you didn't take care of your business.
Right. No, there's no question about that. The question will be, what if Wisconsin loses to Michigan and beats Ohio State? What if Wisconsin wins the Big 12 or the Big 10 at 12-1 and Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game and they're 12-1? They're going to look at a 12-1 Alabama team that played a more difficult schedule than a 12-1 Wisconsin team that actually won their conference. You got to take Wisconsin. They won their conference. But you watch how much, gnashing of teeth will go on over that.
Yeah, look, you're going to have the situation we talked about it weeks ago. You're going to have a ton of one-loss teams when this whole thing is said and done. And then you're going to have to decide four teams that are going to make it. And you're going to have some really good one-loss teams that are left out. If you have four or five one-loss teams and a two-loss team, I don't care. You lost twice. It doesn't. And Ohio State, too, allowed 55 points to Iowa? How does that get you in? And you should have lost to Penn State. And you lost to Oklahoma. So how are you better than all these other teams? I don't get that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the way they can sort all of this out. All right, not a great weekend of college football this week. Let's just tell it the way it is. It's kind of sucking.
What are you talking about? Alabama's playing Mercer. What do you mean?
I don't even know. Is there a line on that game? I mean, well, there must be. I mean, Mercer played Auburn, and there was a line there, and Mercer covered wildly in that game. But, I mean, we're not left with a lot of good stuff here. I'm a little bit intrigued about how Miami will play this week against Virginia, where they're a 20-point favorite at home. Coming off of blowouts of Va Tech and Notre Dame, Virginia doesn't, suck terribly. They're in the ACC. I wonder at what point in time there's a little bit of a natural letdown by Miami. Maybe they win the game by 10 or 12 points.
I think there'll be a bit of a letdown simply because you play two primetime games on national TV. Granted, it's not, every game's on national TV. But you played back-to-back primetime games at night against Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. You were a slight dog to Notre Dame. That was the biggest game of the season, biggest game for the program in years, and you blew them out. It's only natural that this could be a letdown, but that doesn't mean they're going to lose. I mean, Virginia's been very, very competitive this season. They hung with Louisville last week before Louisville pulled away. They won at Boise State earlier in the year, and I mean, Virginia is much improved. I think that they will hang. I mean, this is a noon kickoff. I don't know how much the fans are going to run out there for this game, considering it's the last game of the season at home. But I got to think Virginia is going to hang in this one just because there is got to be simply a letdown factor. I would be surprised if Miami won this game going away.
By the way, there is no line on the Alabama-Mercer game, nor is there on Clemson, Citadel, Florida State, Delaware State yet.
There will be. In a few days, I think there will be.
Yeah, there'll be a line. It'll be 37, 38, 39, something like that. Maybe they're waiting to see on Alabama's injuries just exactly how they stand there. Maybe that's what it's a JV game. I mean, come on.
That's really making a huge difference. Mercer may have a shot.
Yeah, right. They may have a shot to cover to 35. Yeah. This Michigan-Wisconsin game is fascinating. Michigan, I got to believe they'll be in the top 25 tonight when they do that thing. They're like 19 in the AP. But Michigan goes to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's still trying to prove to everybody, coming off a great win against Iowa. Now they're a 7.5-point favorite at home against a Michigan team that struggles scoring-wise. They've made the quarterback change, though. Can Michigan get some kind of a meaningful win here sometime this season?
It just feels like, people want to buy into Jim Harbaugh and they want to buy into this Wolverine team, and they're not, they haven't been great as an underdog, which is one thing you can say about them. And they have Ohio State coming up. It's just hard to go against Wisconsin. They've been playing so well from a defensive standpoint, and they keep winning these games. They know what's ahead of them. And I understand, Georgia last week had all the pressure on them going to Auburn, and they end up losing, that the pressure is mounting on this Wisconsin team. But, at the same time, Michigan's got to show us something. And they really haven't shown us something in a big spot. And you look at Michigan, who are they beating? I feel like they're beating the Rutgers and the Indianas and those kind of teams, the bottom of the Big Ten type teams, that they're not picking up wins over big time squads in this conference. So I just got to think that you got to keep riding Wisconsin.
Here's a line that I never thought we would see. All right. This is like we were joking around in the beginning of the show. Italy did not make the World Cup. I mean, we're like, what are the stupidest things you've ever heard in sports that you can utter? Like, wow, the Browns really nailed that draft pick, right? I mean, Italy didn't make the World Cup. How about this line? Florida at home minus 10.5 against UAB, who didn't even have a football team a year ago. All right. And Florida's only a 10.5-point favorite against UAB.
Yeah, Florida's on a football team this year, so it's kind of interesting how it all comes around.
That's penalty for Florida.
but you know what, though, Tom? Like, I get it. I mean, we saw a few years ago Florida lost to Georgia Southern at home when they were really down, and offensively they're not very good. And I think they're probably going to end up getting Chip Kelly in the end as their head coach next year, and that will obviously change some things to get them better offensively. And UAB has been respectable this year, their first year back from their little vacation they had, and now they're back in Conference USA. But how do you lay 10.5 with Florida? How do you trust them to do that when they've been so terrible recently? And it feels like they packed it in, and they've had a quarterback controversy the whole season long. Why not take a shot with UAB? And I don't know if it's about taking a shot, that UAB has played well. I feel like they always have something to play for, and Florida's just kind of packed it in right now.
Yeah, there's no question. And another one that's kind of in that category, this is a sneaky game. Again, it's a garbage lineup on Saturday, but this is a sneaky game too. You know, Notre Dame, they got to have their dauber down. They know they totally screwed the pooch. They got embarrassed, and they got nothing left here to play for but a, you know, halfway decent bowl game. But they get Navy coming in there with that freaky, outstanding triple option offense. And Navy's getting 17.5 at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's going to win that football game, but I would not be stunned to see Navy hang around with them.
Over the years, and we know there was that long streak that Notre Dame beat Navy for a long time. This feels like kind of like an underrated rival that Notre Dame has. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about USC and Stanford, and years ago it was Michigan and Michigan State. But Navy's always that underrated rival that always tried to hang with Notre Dame, and they've been a lot more competitive the last few years in this series. It will be interesting to see what Notre Dame does this week coming off that loss. But at home, they've been really dynamic. And I mean, obviously, they lost to Georgia, but past that, some of these other games, blowing out USC, blowing out NC State, we're up big on Wake before Wake scored a late touchdown to get a backdoor cover. But I got to think that Notre Dame will rebound this week. It's a Navy team that's not as obviously athletic as Miami, that does concentrate on running the ball. That maybe in this situation, they're going up against an angry Notre Dame team that still has something to play for, still wants to play in a pretty strong bowl close to New Year's, that Notre Dame may be the play here.
Yeah. Kevin Rogers with us, VegasInsider.com, one of the top handicappers there. Just to stay on the college side and switch gears for a second, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of college hoop until January. I like the conference play. I'm not really into the stuff that happens early on, but they've been giving us some really good stuff lately. And tonight, I mean, tonight's pretty sexy. I mean, you got Michigan State and Duke. I don't care, 1-2, 1-2-1, doesn't matter. Kansas and Kentucky. I mean, this is blue blood heaven tonight. Duke, a 1.5-point favorite over Michigan State in the early game, and now Kansas, a 5-point favorite over Kentucky, who has looked kind of like garbage in their first two games against nobodies. And even John Calipari says it's going to take a while for that team to get together. But is there anything that you like here? When you get big-time, blue-blood, top-five programs playing each other like this in a neutral site type of scenario the first couple of weeks of the season, does this move you at all? Do you see opportunity here?
I don't have an opinion on the Duke-Michigan State game. I think it's pretty even. But, I look at the Kentucky-Kansas game, and I put out a play on this tonight on Vegas Insider, and I'll let your audience know. I took Kentucky, and I'll tell you why. That, yes, they snuck by against Utah Valley and Vermont at home, and they were huge favorites. Yes, they lost their entire, the top seven scorers from last year. But this is not the first time for John Calipari at this party. That he reloads every single year with new teams, and we don't know about these guys until we get, closer to conference season. But everyone forgets that Kansas lost its two top players, with Frank Mason and Josh Jackson going to Josh Jackson got drafted by the Suns, and Frank Mason moved on. But when you look at those two, that Bill Self still lost a lot of talent as well. And Kansas won their first game in convincing fashion at home. All right. But now you get Kentucky as an underdog here in this spot. Kansas had sometimes, you know, in the last few years, these non-conference neutral site games that they've struggled. And I think that a lot of people are down in Kentucky here. This could be a good opportunity to take them just because you won't get them as a dog a lot this year, and people are down on them when really they're 2-0. It's not like they've struggled. It's not like they've lost. You know, they haven't lost these games. I mean, they still came out. They still found a way, I think, down 9 to Utah Valley and came back and won it with a strong second half. And they held off Vermont, who's traditionally had a pretty good program out of the America East. But I think Kentucky is definitely worth a look here, you know, getting some points with them. And Kansas has a lot of new faces, too.
Yeah, and you don't go to Kentucky to play Utah Valley. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys are young humans.
Exactly.
They got like
yeah.
8 freshmen there. And they're there to play in these kind of games on national TV. I think you're going to see a different Kentucky as well tonight. And you can get 5, 5.5. It's been that line moved from 2 to like 5, 5.5. And, you know, so that becomes a, you know, pretty substantial amount of points in a game like that. By the way, speaking of points, we always talk about the backdoor cover. I call it the front door cover. When Clemson goes anti-Alabama, when Clemson chips in the touchdown from the 10-yard line with 35 seconds to go in the game to win by 17 in a game that went to the line at 16.5 against your beloved Florida State Seminoles. A very, very close football game. If you were on Florida State, you look like a genius the entire game. And then Clemson does that at the end, man. That's just cold, isn't it?
Yeah, and the worst part is Florida State, you know, had the chance there in the fourth quarter after that turnover, and, you know, they hung. I really thought they would hang in that game, and, you know, obviously the final score, you know, wasn't indicative of that, even though, you know, they were pretty close. And, yeah, those things hurt. They really do when, you know, you have it both ways. You have, you know, you wish that the team that's the favorite would just kneel on the ball or just, you know, I mean, we saw in that Titans-Colts game on the Monday night. I mean, Derrick Henry that had a long touchdown run. All he did was fall down and the game was over and he just kept running. And same thing here, we get a late touchdown, you know, or if you're the other side where you have the favorite and they just kneel on it and you're like, come on, just, you know, go in and score the touchdown if you have the chance. So those are things that happen. And unfortunately, you hope that you're on the right side of those more than not, but it definitely is one where you say if you're Florida State, yeah, they hung around. You were probably on the right side, but it's just unfortunate.
Do you have a feel for Thursday night's Color Rush game? The Titans getting 7 points at Pittsburgh. Both teams grousing about playing this thing. Ben Roethlisberger joining the chorus of other players. This has got to stop, this Thursday night deal. Titans, by the way, practiced today, and that's it. I mean, they had a movie and treatment yesterday. They had a light practice today. They travel tomorrow. I mean, this is stupid to play a football game off of something like that. This isn't basketball or baseball or whatever. But they get 7 at Pittsburgh. Any thought on that thing?
It's just so tough, these Thursday night games, because, you know, like you said, these teams are playing on such short rest, and they really are not motivated to play in this game, and you really wonder when they're going to erase these Thursday night games. I mean, past the Thanksgiving Day games. That
yeah.
You know what it is? I think the NFL will be a better product if you got rid of it, because now you're looking more forward to Sunday, you know, as
right.
opposed to just getting this overload of games. I don't think people really need the overload of games. But as far as this game on Thursday night, you know, when you look at the Titans, they've been a really good home team this year. You know, on the road, it's been kind of up and down a little bit, you know, which is kind of expected. But also, the Steelers really haven't been, you know, that sharp at home. They had the bad loss to Jacksonville earlier this year. You know, they pulled away from Cincinnati at home a few weeks ago. Yeah, you know, I don't really think that Pittsburgh has had that great home performance, it feels like. And especially them coming off this close game against Indianapolis. You know, you could look at the Titans here. You know, the Titans have been pretty good defensively. I think that Tennessee can be worth a look here on Thursday night.
I think that the Thursday night, I don't think it's Thursday. I don't think it's oversaturation, because those of us who love college football, we watch it every day. You know what I mean? We get that one day, you know, like on Monday and there's no college game. We're like, damn, when's there going to be another game? But what I think the problem is the Sunday, Thursday thing. I mean, I think Thursday would be okay if these teams were coming off of a bye and then they get 10 more days. So if they were playing one game, in that scenario where they have 10 games leading in, or 10 days leading in and 10 days on the backside of it, then I think it's fine. I really do. I think you can do it in that sense. The other thing I would do, I'd love to see them stagger the start times by even just 10 minutes on Sunday. You know, I'd love to see there be games starting at like 1, 1.15, 1.30, and 1.45 and just have that continual action. I hate it that we have a whole block of football games and you're stuck watching one or two unless you got Sunday ticket, but they're all happening at the exact same time. I don't understand that. I wish it was like college where there was always something going on one of the games.
Well, every game should start at 1 o'clock local time, unless it's on the East Coast where you have the 4 o'clock for TV. But, you know,
that's a good
I lived
point.
In Kansas City for almost 2 years and all the Chiefs home games started at noon. It was noon
right.
Central and 1 o'clock Eastern. I never understood that. Like, why couldn't they play at 1 o'clock also where you have a 2 o'clock Eastern kickoff, where now you at least have a nice stagger of the games where
great idea.
You know, you get into like a 5 o'clock hour where now you know, you have that, you know, you have at least some separation with these games. Unfortunately, it kind of feels like the whole 60 minutes thing where it's like 60 minutes except for the West Coast. Like, you know, 60 minutes has got to be shown, so we can't run these games late. And unfortunately, the TV thing totally kills it. College has it right where they have all these different starting times. So at least, you know, not everything is done at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's right. Here in Tennessee, it's the same thing. You know, everything is noon and three. But, yeah, if everything was 1 and 4 – across the board, you know, that would be that would make some sense. There's no question about it. All right, check them out at VegasInsider.com. You are obviously putting out college basketball games now. Are you putting any NBA stuff up as well?
Yep, everything. If it's out there, I'm doing it.
All right, so there you go. And he's doing a great job. VegasInsider.com. You can go there and you can get his picks. Just check him out there. Kevin Rogers has been our guest. Thanks, K-Raj.
All right, Tom, you got it. See you.
All right, coming up next, Bo Estes with our weekly NBA update, and there was some antics going on last night in the Garden. No, not the Garden, in the Garden last night in New York. It was some interesting drama unfolding over there. We'll talk about that next with Bo Estes right here on 730-1039. Yep.